This morning, we just thank you for every single aspect of what you are busy doing in our own hearts, in our own lives, and in the life of this church, Father. And may all the praise and honor and glory go to you, Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We just say thank you. Thank you for all you have done for us. Thank you for how you have changed each one of us. Thank you again for the incredible future, the eternity that you have for each one of us. So Lord, we just praise you this morning and give you thanks. Amen. Amen. I was pondering this morning why it was such a challenge. Even last night, it was wonderful listening to the rain. But I found it difficult. I didn't have much sleep. Then Krisha said she didn't have much sleep. And even when we came in here this morning, you know, sometimes the devil doesn't want us to hear the word. All right? And he will throw all types of curveballs at us. And he will do whatever he can to ensure that we don't gather together like this. And even some of us sitting here this morning, you might have even said, gee whiz, okay, well, I'm going. But you found it a challenge to be here this morning. And I'm telling you, the reason why is partly because of what I want to share here this morning. Because I really believe that if we embrace what I'm going to be sharing here this morning, our lives will change. Our lives will change. And I know the evil one doesn't want this type of message to go out there. He wants to stop it as quickly as he can. And I was just pondering, even this message that I'm sharing, I shared a similar message probably 3 years ago. And if I recall, also, there were some interesting challenges and kind of involvements from our enemy. So, folks, congratulations to all of us that we're here. All right. Turn to the person next to you and say, well done for being here this morning. God is good to get us here. Folks, what I want to share on today, like I said, it's very, very important. You know, let me start off by saying this, that as God's children, who we are, children of the Most High God, we need to be those that take God seriously. Is that true? Really, we need to take God seriously. And if we are those that take God seriously, we definitely need to be those who take the Word of God seriously. And this means that we should have that intense, passionate commitment to the authority of Scripture. We should have. And that is what I want to speak about this morning, that I know the devil does not want any of us to hear. I want to speak about the Bible. I want to speak about the Word of God. If you want to put a title to this message this morning that goes onto our website, just call it the Bible. The Bible. I want to talk about the Bible and the importance, or how important it is for you and I to make sure that we are those that we embrace the Word of God. Right? You know, some years back, I remember speaking to somebody, and this person said to me, they said, yeah, you know what? The Bible, Dave, you know, the Bible is just a whole lot of words, eh? It's a whole lot of words written by man that has all been put together between a leather cover, between leather covers. Okay. Also, I heard somebody that was adamant about this thing, that when they spoke to me about the Bible, the Bible is just a whole lot of words that man has written. You know, I've also, you know, had somebody say to me, well, you know, the Bible, I know the Bible. If you read through it, you might find one or two helpful words on how to live your life. Have any of you experienced that when you talk to people about the Word of God? I'm sure you have if you are a believer. Folks, we've been exposed to people like that who have an absolutely no idea, have a total lack of understanding of what the Word of God is and what the Word of God is all about. Many, many people are out there. And let me say this, even Christians, many Christians out there that just don't have an understanding of what God's Word is all about. So this morning we're going to have a look at what the Bible says about the Bible and just, you know, kind of dig into this as a topic. And we will be looking at a fair amount of Scripture, and of course it's good. Is that right? It's good that we read Scripture when we're in church. So I want to start off with a question. What does the Bible say about the Bible? Here's the answer, or one of the answers that we see in Scripture. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture, how much? All Scripture is breathed out by God. In other words, it is inspired by God. And it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training, which is basically instruction, in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. That's what the Bible says about the Bible. And it's interesting. Like I said to you, I had somebody say to me, it's just written by the hand of man. And, you know, how can you get all so excited about the Bible if man wrote it? Well, partly what they're saying is true. It is written by the hand of man. The Bible is written by the hand of man. But, folks, it is under the unction, it's under the anointing, it's under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit. So it is God the Holy Spirit that has written the Bible, and it says all Scripture is breathed by God. So we need to get our head around all of that. So all Scripture is breathed by God, and all Scripture, therefore, is inspired by God. And we can say that if the Bible says it, we can believe it. Is that true? If the Bible says it, we can believe it. So then the question would be, you know, what do we believe about the Bible? Well, there's a whole lot of things that we can get into. First of all, God tells us in the Bible the different ways that He speaks to man. We see it in the Word. If you want to know how God speaks to us, we need to get into the Word of God to see that. And there are different ways. I remember doing a study on this some years back. And I think it was 12 or 13 different ways that I found in the Bible, just, you know, kind of doing some research and so on, how God speaks to us through His Word. Different ways. But it's all in the Word. It's all in the Bible. Right down to that He even uses a donkey. Who knows that story? Where God used a donkey to speak to somebody. So, folks, God says in the Word that you and I have been created to have fellowship with Him. So that is one of the reasons why we're on planet Earth, is to have a relationship with God. And that means that God wants us to speak to Him and that He wants to speak to us. Communication. Communication is a two-way process. You married guys know what it's like. If you're married, you know, if the communication is only one-sided, well, that's not communication. You can imagine, I just speak to Krisha all the time. I just keep on talking to her, and she just doesn't talk to me. Because I told her to stop talking, that's what she says. But folks, can you imagine that sort of relationship? Okay? So if we have been created to have fellowship with God, God wants us to speak to Him and He wants to speak to us. And the Bible, like I said, reveals the different ways that God communicates with us. And like I said, there are many, but I want to just focus on a few of them here this morning. The first one is He speaks to us through creation. And we can see in Psalm 19, verse 1. Now listen to this. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare. The sun that just hangs there, the moon that just hangs there, and the stars, they declare the glory of God. And it goes on to say, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. People have no excuse not to believe in God. They will rather go out and say, hey, you know, I'm an atheist, bro. I'm an atheist. Yeah? You need more faith to be an atheist than to believe in a God. You have to have a huge amount of faith to believe you or not to believe in God. Is that true? You know, so folks, we need to just go back to what the Word of God says. And when we read scriptures like this, people have no excuse not to believe in him. Another one, Romans 1 verse 20, let me read it to you. It says, for his individual attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. Then it goes on to say, so they are without excuse. People are without excuse. People have absolutely no excuse to somehow believe that there's no God. But it's, we see it in the Word of God. And these are the reasons why we need to dig deep. We need to know these things. Then another way that God actually speaks to us is through our conscience. Now, our conscience, in a way, is the voice of our own spirit, right? It's not the voice of the Holy Spirit, because people don't have to be born again to have a conscience. How many of us know that? You don't have to be born again to have a conscience. In fact, when God created us, He gave us a conscience. It's something that He placed on the inside of us. And your conscience and my conscience continually speaks to us. But if we're not careful, we start to kill our conscience. This voice that is guiding us, because our conscience actually shows us right from wrong. And that is why there are many, many good people that are not born again, but they're really good people. Because they were led by their conscience and they knew the difference between right and wrong. And they didn't do wrong and they chose to do right. The only difference between that person and you is that you go to heaven and they not. Unless they receive Jesus, God's gift to mankind. That's the only difference. So you do get good people that are not born again. Let me read this to you. It says in Romans 2 verse 14. It says, for when Gentiles, now this is Gentiles, who do not have the law. Do you remember the Gentiles didn't have the law? It was the Jewish people that had the law. But when the Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature, do what the law requires. So they didn't have the law, and yet they were doing what the law requires. They are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, the Bible says, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or excuse them. Isn't that amazing? So God, when He creates us, when He created us, He gave us, this is before us getting born again, He put us, He placed a conscience within us. So that we know the difference between right and wrong, and that we can be led by our conscience. People know, just, you don't have to be born again to know that you shouldn't murder. Is that true? You don't have to be born again to know that you shouldn't steal. Am I right? But the problem is that we start to sear our conscience. So, and it takes a period of time. I'll give you an example. A prostitute. The first time a prostitute does what she does for money, her conscience is shouting at her. Loud voice. It's wrong. Don't do it. Wrong, 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 wrong. Am I right? But she does it again and again and again and again. And eventually what was a loud voice speaking to her is now just a little whisper that you can't even hear anymore. Because she has chosen to go against what God has placed on the inside of us and has chosen to sear her conscience. It shows us right and wrong. Then God speaks to us through Jesus. And I just want to say what Jesus says about this. This is quite interesting. This is John 14 verse 7. It says, now Jesus speaking, He says, if you had known me, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. So Jesus is saying, listen, if you know me, you know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So basically what Jesus was saying, you do know the Father because, and you've seen the Father because you've seen me. And then Philip pops up and Philip says, he says to him, oh Lord, okay, show us the Father. And that's enough. Just show, Jesus, just show us the Father. Jesus wasn't happy with that comment. Watch what he says. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? I've been with you so long and you still don't know me. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you, Philip, how can you say, show us the Father? So folks, if we've seen Jesus, and the only way you and I are going to see Jesus is if we get into the Word of God and we start to meditate and read the Word of God. This needs to be a lifestyle, this reading the Word of God. And when we see Jesus and we see how Jesus conducted himself and the things that Jesus did, we will know the Father. And that's what Jesus said to us. We see in Hebrews 1 verse 3, it says, He, again talking about Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God. Jesus, the radiance of the glory of God. And the exact imprint of his nature. The exact imprint, no variation. If you want to know what the nature of God is, Jesus is the exact imprint of the nature of God. So truly, if we want to know the Father and know exactly what the Father is all about, we need to know the Lord Jesus. And for us to know the Lord Jesus, we need to get into the Word. It keeps on pointing back to the Word of God, folks. Jesus and the Father are one. And Jesus often said, you know, I do not do anything. And I don't say anything unless I hear from the Father. So if we want to really know the Father, we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because according to that scripture, He is exactly, His nature is exactly the same as the Father. The next way that God communicates with man is through the Bible. It's through the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:15. And so this is now Paul speaking to Timothy. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writing. So he says to young Timothy, hey, Timothy, right from when you were a little guy, when you were small, you have been exposed to the truth of the word, okay, which are able to make you wise for salvation. So it is the Word of God that makes us wise for salvation. It says, makes us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So the Bible shows us how to receive salvation. Goodbye, big boy. Shame. The Bible shows us how to receive salvation. I'll talk a little bit more about that because this is interesting. Then it goes on to say, the scripture I read, all scripture is breathed out by God. Is that true? All scripture is breathed out by God. Now, the problem is, and this is not only unbelievers, it's also some believers. We go out there and we like to cherry pick the Word of God. Oh, yeah, Lord, you know, I believe, hey, yeah, I'm saved. I'm saved by grace through faith. I believe that. Oh, I believe in Jesus. Hey, this thing of extending the kingdom and sowing into the kingdom. You know what? That's not for me. All right? And this thing of healing, you know, that's not for me. But I do believe this and I believe a bit of that. Folks, this is how it shouldn't be. We either accept what the Bible says about the Bible or we reject it. The Bible says that every word is God-breathed. And let's take this. We either accept that or we don't. Let's accept it and start to apply this in our lives. Let's not cherry-pick the Word of God like many unbelievers would do as well. So he says here, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, which means to rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. We see in 2 Peter, I want to read this to us as well. Chapter 1, verse 20, it says, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, verse 21, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the prophecies that we see in the Word of God, they are yes and amen. And let me say this, that just about every single prophecy in the Word of God has come to pass. There are a few more with regards to Israel that haven't come to pass, and also the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are many, many prophecies in the Word of God, and you see it prophesied and you see it fulfilled. Prophesied and fulfilled. prophesied and fulfilled right throughout the Bible. So the trend is that every single one of those prophecies will, you know, have come to pass. So the trend is Jesus is definitely coming soon. He's coming again. There's no question about it. That was prophesied. That is one that hasn't been fulfilled. And as I say, one or two as well about Israel as well. So the Bible tells us, first of all, we see the Bible speaks about the character of God. If we want to really know God, we need to get into the Word of God and on a regular basis. And also, the Bible speaks about God's salvation plan for mankind. Now, I was pondering this. Think about this. Can you imagine if you know that you need salvation because it's something that God has placed on the inside of us, right? If you know that you know that you know that you need salvation, but you don't know how to get saved. Can you imagine that? It must be devastating. And yet, folks, it's all in the Word of God. We just go to the Word of God, and that shows us. I want to give you a very, very good definition, I believe, of the Bible. And it's a definition I found some years back. And let me just read it to you. It says, the Bible is divinely inspired. In other words, it's inspired. The inspiration comes from God. Infallible record of all God's revelation to mankind. And is our final authority. The Bible is the final authority. Not what this group of people think and what that group of people think. All these groups out there that are coming against the truth of the gospel and saying that it's wrong and we shouldn't believe what the Bible says, we should believe what they say. The Bible, according to God, is the final authority in all matters of life and doctrine. It contains everything we need that we need to know for salvation, and nothing can or must ever be subtracted or added to it. The Bible is divinely inspired and therefore infallible. How's that for a definition of the Bible? Folks, that's what it is. Basically, what the Bible is, it's a library. The Bible is a library of 66 books. There are 66 books in the Bible. And not all of them are arranged chronologically. Most of them are, but there are some that are not. I'm going to make a statement now that you might find hard to believe. But you know what? The Bible didn't just fall out of heaven and land on some guy's lap. Do you know that? People believe that. Just fell out of heaven. It didn't fall out of heaven and land on some guy's lap and, well, let's copy it and get it distributed. It was progressively pieced together, they say, over a period of about 2,000 years. And what's also very interesting about this, that there are more than 40 authors of the Bible, men and women, under the unction, under the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit, writing the Word of God. Amen. Right. That was my introduction. Are we ready? Folks, all I want to do is just encourage us to get into the Word on a daily basis. What I'm going to do right now is give us 10 reasons why we should study the Bible, why we should read the Bible, why we should meditate on Scripture. And the first one is this, the very first one, it's the Bible that shows us God. That's a good enough reason for us to read the Bible. It reveals God to us. There's no easier way, there's no better way, there's no surer way of getting to know God than getting into the Word of God and starting to read the Word of God. That is how God speaks to us. One of the main ways that God speaks to us is through His Word. And as we read the Bible, we start to see God's attributes. He reveals Himself to us through the Bible. And it's really only by reading it that we find out exactly what He's about, what He's like. The second one, how many did I say I have? And you're saying, I hope my turkey's not going to burn. No, we'll get through it now. The second one is that the Bible renews our mind. I'm convinced of this, right? Now, this is what I think. So don't go and quote me. I'm not quoting Scripture. I think that people that embrace the truth of the gospel, the word of God, just get smarter. They get smarter. They get clever. Whereas I've heard of guys that are down and out, drug addicts and dealers and all types of things. They get born again. They become a child of the Most High God. Next thing, even people with PhDs are coming to them for advice because they know what the Bible says. So the Bible renews the mind. How many of you have noticed that we live in a sick world? Have you noticed? Okay, we live in a sick world. But the problem is with this sick world is that it is constantly and continually trying to squeeze its values into our thinking. Ongoing. And we need to be aware of this. Why? Because our thoughts determine our actions. We never go and do something without thinking about it. Is that true? Right. So therefore, it's important that we keep on filling our minds with the Word of God and with God's thoughts continually. And the only way to find God's thoughts is by reading His Word. 2 Peter 3:1 says, "This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I'm stirred up by your sincere mind by way of reminder." Basically, what this is saying is that the Bible tells us and the Bible reminds us about the things that God is saying to us. In Romans 12, verse 1, it says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers." Now, you know what's coming. Often we don't like to hear this one. "By the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." So a part of the way that we worship God is to present our bodies to Him. Our bodies as a living sacrifice. Then he goes on to say in the next verse, verse 2, he says, "Do not be conformed to this world." Now we are living in this world system that is trying to conform us. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Right? So, that our thinking and the Bible lines up. That's what it is. That's all it is. Renewing of our mind. That our thinking and our actions start to line up with the Bible. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So, we can see right here that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And how do we do that? Through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. That's how we do it. There's no other way to do it. The third thing, where good reason why we should be reading the Bible. The Bible helps us in spiritual warfare. We need to know that we have an enemy out there that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We know who he is. At one point, he was Lucifer, the archangel, right? That was cast out of heaven and convinced the third of the angels, the other angels, that he could elevate himself above God, the Creator. And remember, too, that he was a created being, okay, Lucifer. So he used to have the name of Lucifer, and you read about it, and it looks like, you know, he had musical instruments in his being, and he was responsible for the praise and worship in the heavenlies. But pride was found in him, and God kicked him out, and a third of the angels. And today, that is Satan, and the third of the angels, of course, are demons, which you have airborne demons, and you have those that are on planet Earth. We won't get into all of that right now. So when we read the Bible helps us and shows us how to deal with this. You better know, folks, that you have an enemy, like I've just mentioned, and he has convinced, and he's even convinced Christians that he doesn't exist. You speak to some, "Oh yeah, no, it's another one of those. I believe this about the Bible, and I believe, but don't tell me about demons, eh? And devils. I don't believe in demons and devils." Folks, he's even convinced Christians that he doesn't exist. And that makes you and I, if that's what you believe, you are a sitting duck. Can you imagine having an enemy, huh? And you don't believe he exists? I'm just saying. All right. Okay. So the Bible helps us with spiritual warfare. And God's word, the word of God, is described in the word of God as a sword. It is the sword of the Spirit. And the sword is an offensive weapon that we actually use. It's a weapon that we need to be drawing out and using against the wiles of the enemy. The word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And so we need to learn, you know, how to actually wield the sword of ours. And in actual fact, all we need to do is what Jesus did. Do you remember when Jesus went into the wilderness? Went in for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was fasting. Okay? What happened? The devil came. We know the story. So the devil came. So what did Jesus say? Folks, he used the sword of the Spirit against him, which is the word of God. I want to read this portion of Scripture to us. It's a weapon. Weapon. The word of God is a weapon. This is now in Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. I guess he was hungry. You go and fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Let me say this. Physically, he must have been very weak, but spiritually, he must have been incredibly strong right there. Verse 3 says, and the tempter came. That's another name for Satan. If you are being tempted, who is doing it? Satan. He's the tempter came. And he said to him, now listen to this. If you are the Son of God. Now, Satan knows that he is the Son of God. But he says to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. This is because Jesus was so hungry. How did Jesus respond? He answered, he says, it is written. Okay? And he starts quoting the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So Jesus responded with the word. Verse 5, and then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, again, he knows who he is, but if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, listen to this, for it is written, so here now the devil starts quoting scripture to Jesus, for it is written that he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. So the devil starts quoting scripture to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. So Jesus responds with the word of God. And folks, this is how we need to respond. But for us to be able to respond with the Word of God, we need to know the Word of God. And for us to know the Word of God, we need to study, get into the Word of God. And again, number verse 8, the devil took him to a very high mountain, and he showed him the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, said to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. The devil is desperate for worship. Wants worship. And Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So again, Jesus responds with the word, and he says, be gone. And the next verse is, then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and were ministering to him. Folks, we need to know the word. Are we okay? Number 4, the Bible is a foundation on how you and I should live our lives. That's why we need to get into it. And behind God's word, the word of God, is God's faithfulness. He'll back it up. So if we live our lives in obedience to the word of God, which we should be doing, he is faithful to uphold us when we go through difficult times, when we go through some trials and tribulations. He will hold us up. Why? Because he is faithful to his word. That's why. So the key is not just to hear the word, but it is to... I'll say it again. The key is not just to hear the word. It's to do the word. And Jesus speaks about it, and we see this right throughout the Bible, that we need to be those that do the word. Now, I want to read to you what Jesus says about this very thing, because again, there are too many Christians who hear the word, don't do it. And they wonder why the wheels are coming off in their lives and things aren't going well. Let's hear what Jesus says here. In Matthew 7, verse 24, he says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. So folks, doing God's word, when we do the word of God, actually brings the victory in difficult situations. That's what Jesus says when we do it. But then he goes on to say, and everybody who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. Again, like many Christians, I'm sad to say. Hear the word, but don't do it. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. So the foolish man, and sometimes the foolish Christian, does not do the word of God, only hears it. Hears it, but doesn't do it, right? Folks, we need to make sure that we are those that get into the word, read the word, know the word, and apply it, so that we are not considered by Jesus to be foolish, right? Because even here, we saw the destruction when the house fell. Amen. James 1 verse 23. James now speaks about the same thing. So Jesus spoke about hearing and doing. Let's hear what James says. For if anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. And he looks at himself and he goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the one that looks into the word of God, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. So this is now the doer. He will be blessed in his doing. How many of us want to be blessed by the Lord? All of us, I'm sure. Let's just do it. He says, he will be blessed in his doing. God's favor will be poured out upon us. The next one quickly, number five. Why? Good reason why we read the Bible. The Bible equips us for good works. It says in Ephesians 2 verse 10, for we are his workmanship, you and I are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has prepared us, folks, for good works, to do good things, right? And I want to say that you and I will never fulfill those things that he has prepared us for if we are not equipped and if we are not prepared. And the way to become equipped and prepared is to get into the Word. Okay, by reading and studying the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, I'll read it again. All scriptures God breathed and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped, and for every good work. That's what God wants us to do. Just the good works out there. The next one. Good reason to read the Bible. The Bible shows us ourselves and reveals our sin. Okay, listen to this. So when we read the Word of God, we actually see the standard by which we should be living our lives. And when we start to see that, we can actually clearly see, you know, where we miss the mark. And we must just go out there now and make the necessary adjustments, make the changes and the adjustments. Because we want to please Him. That's why we do it. I'll just read Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active. I want to just stop right here. I want to just share something with you. A couple of years back, I And I think it was a craze in America at that time. And I think, you know, often things that are happening in churches in America, we think, well, that's the way to do it. You bring it here. And this guy started speaking to me about, hey, Dave, you know, you must be seeker sensitive. Seeker sensitive. You know, if somebody comes in that is not born again, right? They don't know Jesus. You know, you can't just, you know, give them the word. You know, just be too strong on the word. You know, we need to just be sensitive. In other words, all of us that come here every week, I must now dilute the word so that in case there's one or two people here that we have to please, the rest of us don't get the word. Listen to what the word says here in terms of answering that. You know, is this the right thing to do? Because I believe that the word, and we'll see it here, that the word of God is alive. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. That when an unbeliever comes in and is exposed to the truth of the gospel, they will be ignited. They'll be set on fire. We don't have to start compromising the word for... And I'm saying to all of us, why I'm sharing that, is that when you are out there and you are ministering to people, you don't have to compromise the word because the Bible says that the word of God is alive. Amen. It says, verse 12 of Hebrews 4, for the word of God is living and active and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That is what the word of God is. Folks, it sets us free. It sets us free, right? We don't have to compromise on the word. James 1:21, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and overflowing of evil, receive in meekness the implanted word, God's word, which is able to save your souls. The next one, the Bible purifies our lives from sin. So if we do sin, it purifies. So when there is sin in our lives, we can see in the word of God what the word says about that particular thing. And we see it in the word and we can make the necessary adjustments. And we can be purified and it says in, I'll just go through, John 15 verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. So when we read the word of God, it starts to purify us. It cleanses us. We see in John 17, 7, use the truth to make them holy. Your words of truth. We see in Ephesians 5, 26, so that he might make it holy, having made it clean with the washing of water and the word. So the word of God washes us. Makes us clean. Amen. Next one. The Bible assists us in preventing us from sinning. So as we start to meditate on the Word of God, you know, and we might be confronted with some sin in our own lives. And if we are in the Word of God, we are just have more of a chance of being victorious coming through all of that. He says in 1 John 2 verse 1, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But, he says, if you do sin, how many of us have sinned in the last week? Okay, a couple of us. But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So, he says to us, we shouldn't. But if we do, we have an advocate. Jesus is right there. Psalm 119 verse 9, it says, how does a young man keep his way pure? Good question. How do we keep our way pure? It's part of the same verse. It says, by guarding it, by guarding our way according to your word. We guard our way according to the word of God. Second last one. The Bible enables us to preach and teach. When we know the word of God, we're able to speak it, we're able to preach it, we're able to teach the word of God, and that's all our responsibilities as we go into our sphere of influence, wherever that might be. We know that God is faithful in terms of backing up whatever we say out there. And again, you can go and read that 2 Timothy 3:16. It talks about that. Then the final one. The Bible builds faith. The Bible says that we should walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the Bible builds faith. And God will never fail to keep His promises that we see in the Word of God. And folks, by reading His Word, we can gain the confidence to actually trust Him. Why? We get to know Him through His Word. Who knows Romans 10, verse 17? I'll read it. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Let's not forget that. You want to know how you can build your faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word. So we see that all scripture is God-breathed, it's God-inspired. We see it also, the word of God, that God is alive and He's speaking to His people. He speaks to us through His word. We see that the Bible is inspired and it's authorized, and it tells us about God Himself, and also that it is a guide to knowing God. Folks, let's start to read the Bible. Amen. I want to show you here. You see this Bible here? Now, this is Krisha's Bible. This is Krisha's Bible. Krisha, did you buy it for yourself? It was her Bible for 5 minutes, she said. Now, Krisha bought this Bible in 2000. And I looked at it and I thought, you know, what is that? And it's a year Bible, and I know I've spoken about this before, but I'm sharing this message so that we can be prepared for 2020. So Krisha bought this Bible in the year 2000. And I looked at it, and it says 22nd of March. So if you are reading the one-year Bible, because in it, it's Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. But it's by heading. Starts off on the 1st of January. So I'm suggesting that we all go and buy ourselves a Christmas present, a one-year Bible. Because many of us sitting here today find it difficult to read the Word, and we don't get into the Word. Sometimes it's good to have a Bible program. Now, please, folks, I know you've got those little pieces of paper that tell you how to do it, and then you flip through your Bible, and you can't find Ecclesiastes, and then you can't find Psalm 23, and then you don't know where the Proverbs are, and by the time you're going through all of that, you know, it's just difficult. This, and even the apps, this is much better than an app as well. You go through this thing. So this was Krisha's Bible in 2000. I hijacked it in 2001. All right. And I thought, well, okay, let me read the Bible. So I started reading the Bible. It takes 20 minutes a day. 20 minutes a day. And I discovered at the end of the year, I'd read the whole Bible, this Bible. So I thought, well, that was 2001. I'm going to go do it again in 2002. End of 2002, I read the Bible again. That's what a Bible looks like when you've had it since 2001 to 2019. Okay? It's still going. Folks, I really want to encourage you. If you're struggling with finding time to read and discipline of reading the Word of God, go and invest in one of these things. It will just help you make sure. Because you can't. Also, I would say to you as well that if you are reading the one-year Bible, sometimes you might be on holiday. You parked off, you got a bit of time. You can go and catch up, maybe go 7 days ahead. Don't go more than seven. The reason is that when you start relaxing a little bit, next thing you're behind. Also, don't go more than 7 days behind, because if you go more than 7 days behind, there's a good chance that you're not going to finish. So go and buy yourself a Christmas present to me, from me. Let's get into the Word. Let's make 2020 a year that we commit ourselves to not only reading the Word, but doing the Word as well. Amen.